Officer Monica Hodge has seen people come back from the dead. Well, close to it.
I'll check for the heartbeat. And it's very, very faint. And, of course, they're completely unconscious. They're blue. And their breath, it's these huge gasps of air. Like, and it takes a long period of time in between each gasp. So I know right then it's a heroin overdose.
Hodge says she's witnessed about 30 heroin overdoses over 11 years, working on the near west side of Indianapolis, most of them in the past 3 years. As a patrol officer in a dense urban neighborhood, she can respond to a call within about a minute, she says. Until last spring, all she could do when she got to the scene was monitor the pulse and wait for an ambulance to arrive. But in April of 2014, Hodge and the other cops in the district received a supply of naloxone, also called Narcan, a drug with the power to reverse an overdose.
It's just amazing that this one medicine, you shoot it up their nostril, and they come back and be conscious and alert and talking within a minute.
In high enough concentrations, opioids will shut down the areas of the brain that control breathing, causing an overdose. Naloxone attaches to the same receptors that opioids do. It kicks the opioids off the receptors, so they quickly lose their effect. Naloxone is not new. In fact, it's been available as an injection for over 40 years. In the days when Officer Hodge had to just wait for the ambulance, that's what the paramedics would use to revive patients before taking them to the hospital. Now, naloxone administered as a nasal spray is gaining popularity among police, but it's still not widespread. 22 states don't allow police to administer it. In Indiana, where it's been legal for police to use for a year, only 6 departments actually have it. But demand is growing quickly across the country. Overdose deaths related to prescription opioids climbed from 4,400 in the year 2000 to over 16,900 in 2011, a rise that has been linked to high prescription rates. Heroin deaths climbed from about 3,000 in 2010 to over 8,000 in 2014. In recent studies of young people who inject heroin, nearly half reported abusing prescription opioids first. Bailey Jacobs, 22, is a recovering heroin addict, 2.5 years clean. She started using heroin with her older sister, Riley, who was already addicted at the time.
I enjoyed spending the time with her because I knew there was no other way really to spend time together.
Bailey says her sister abused OxyContin before switching to heroin.
Everybody was doing OxyContin, and so I think whoever made the decision to make them basically, you can't crush them up or snort them or do them in any way to get high. And I just remember hearing about it and her talking about how her and her friends had issues ever finding drugs because the pharmacies had made it so you can't do the drugs, you know, in a way to get high. And so they were like, all right, and then we'll go the cheaper route. And pretty much from then on, it became more of a thing. People had heroin around.
While manufacturers started making tamper-proof pills, many states, including Indiana, began tracking opioid prescriptions, making it harder to abuse the drugs. Indiana's Attorney General Greg Zeller is well aware that these policy changes have led to addicts switching to heroin, and he expects heroin use to get worse before it gets better.
We're going to see more and more people cut off that shouldn't have as much access. But then you're going to have rates of heroin use skyrocket. That's a much harder problem, and you're going to need Narcan available to catch the people that are overdosing until we can get a better grip on the whole problem.
In the face of this epidemic, advocates in Indiana are mobilizing to raise awareness about and funding for Narcan. A bill that would allow doctors to issue prescriptions to family members and friends of addicts, allowing them to save a loved one's life without waiting for emergency response, passed the state Senate unanimously in February and is headed for the House.
Tell me one soul doesn't matter. Tell me there's one soul out here, one soul in this room that doesn't matter. You can't. Because we all matter.
That's right.
We need the Narcan to get into the hands, not just of the officers and the paramedics, us.
A community meeting held by the local organization Hope Overcoming Heroin takes on a church-like feeling. A volunteer organizer asked the group of parents and recovering addicts to work together to make naloxone more available, to allow for more second chances at life. Hope Overcoming Heroin formed last fall in affluent Hamilton County, north of Indianapolis. Kevin Moore, Bailey's mom, is one of the founders of the group. Her older daughter got a second chance after an overdose in 2011 and is now in recovery out of state. But she still wants to have Narcan on hand.
Because she is a recovering heroin addict, if she would relapse, she is in the highest risk group for an overdose. Because when heroin addicts, if they do relapse, they tend to use what they used before, and their body's not ready for it.
At the meeting, the group addressed a concern they'd heard from community members, that making naloxone more available could enable addicts to continue using and push themselves to the brink of overdose, knowing that the drug would be there to save them. Kevin says addicts' brains don't work that way.
So here, this great high, the last thing they remember was feeling fantastic. They don't even realize that they're near death or not breathing. And they wake up, and that Narcan not only has taken away the great high, they're sick. They need, they're physically, they have withdrawal.
Like,
you go to withdrawal in 0 seconds once you get that Narcan. So they are angry at whoever just saved their life, because that was just the best buzz of their life.
Attorney General Zeller says the cost to society of naloxone, as well as programs to help addicts recover, are far less than the costs of the epidemic.
There's no question that, you know, the drug addiction problem ends up having results in crimes. Indiana's number one in the nation in pharmacy robberies. The number of home break-ins and petty larceny and robbery. I mean, a lot of our crime is driven by this drug addiction.
Zoller says Indiana lacks the doctors and infrastructure to help addicts without the means to put themselves through treatment. And he hopes to see the state catch up in the coming years.
It's a lot cheaper than building another prison.
Reporting for Sound Medicine, I'm Andrea Maraskin.